not about you, it's about him.
Catholic Way Bible Study. Peace, power, purpose. Find out more at cwbs.org.
This is full-time Catholic radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit.
Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
When I look around in our society today, I see a need for men to discover who they are.
The average boy will spend more time watching television by the time he turns 6 years old than he will spend talking to his father over the course of his entire earthly life.
The responsibility that is really the man's responsibility to be the spiritual leader of the family has been abdicated.
We tend not to fulfill our roles as Christian men, and it's affecting our families, our communities.
Never in the history of humanity has there been so many wives without husbands and children without dads, all because of broken masculinity.
What we find ourselves into right now is a vicious circle. Many men have grown without a father, and they don't know how to be father to their children.
This is a beautiful, beautiful video, and it's called Call to Battle. We're just playing a little snippet for you because Bishop Olmstead from the Diocese of Phoenix is going to be joining us at about 15 minutes past the hour. Now, you'll find this powerful video, A Call to Battle, on the same website where you'll also find the very important apostolic exhortation Bishop Olmstead released to the men in his diocese last fall entitled Into the Breach. It's intothebreach.net. And on the upper right-hand side of that website, there is that video that we just played, and we'll play a little bit more for you as we get closer to the interview with the bishop. This is a really, really important video. It's a really important letter, and it ties in so perfectly with what's going on in our culture right now and the call for men to take their rightful roles as husbands, fathers, leaders, and why they're not doing it, how we can fix that. And it's really on the bishop's heart to make a difference, and he's putting a big effort behind it. So we'll chat with Bishop Olmstead. I think it's neat that this, of course, was done for his diocese, but because of the way that it's presented so well, it's just gone viral. And the letter is being handed out all over the place. As a matter of fact, we already have the video on our parish website, and our pastor, Father Darrell, has a men's group of about 50 guys. He's already handed out copies of the letter and shown them the video. Really, really crucial for men to read the letter, and I think women should read it too. I think we can all benefit because it really gives us a good summary of where we're at in our culture. And he also draws from a lot of things in the culture, and then those same themes are carried out throughout this very powerful video. So Bishop Olmstead joining us from the Diocese of Phoenix. That's at 15 minutes past the hour. And then Joan Lewis joining us at 39 minutes past the hour. A lot of buzz in Rome and around the world about the Holy Father's new book, which was just released this week. The Name of God is Mercy. This is all a part, of course, of the Year of Mercy, which began in December on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception and runs until the Feast of Christ the King, which comes up in November, of course, or later this year. So we should have some really good discussions. I do hope that you can stay tuned for the entire hour, and I hope that you're having a blessed Wednesday, January 13th, 2016, so far. It is a bitterly cold here in Michigan, but the good news is across much of the Midwest and the North, it is going to warm up by the end of the week, and we are going to see highs in the 40s, they're saying, by the weekend. And for those of you heading to the March for Life in D.C. next Friday, we're told it's looking pretty decent right now. I know Elena Rodriguez, who's going to be also covering the march for our Spanish television side of things, she checked out the forecast, and Tom Price emailed me yesterday and said looking like 40 degrees or maybe even above that. And I'm like, I'm fine with that. We'll take it. So pray for all the marchers from all across the country and all over the world who are headed to D.C. just about a week from Friday. All right, it's 5 minutes past the hour. It is a Wednesday morning. It's the 13th. Good to be with you. Let's take a look and see what's happening in and around the world on a Wednesday. After the president made that symbolic political gesture of leaving an open seat at his State of the Union speech for victims of gun violence, a pro-life congressman responded With a strong gesture of his own, Congressman Stephen King, an Iowa Republican, left his gallery seat open for the 57 million babies who have been victimized by abortion in the United States since Roe v. Wade. King said President Obama's first official act immediately upon his inauguration was to sign an executive order to accelerate abortions worldwide. And he said Obama, as far as he knows, has never shed a single tear for even one of the more than 9 million babies aborted under his watch. And he called him the most pro-abortion president ever in U.S. history. Meanwhile, the president says the U.S. is still the most powerful nation on earth. In that final State of the Union address, the president rejecting the notion that America is getting weaker while its enemies grow stronger. The president also calling for unity after years of partisan discussions in Washington. South Carolina's Governor Nikki Haley says the president's record has often fallen far short of his soaring words.
Tonight, President Obama spoke eloquently about grand things. He's at his best when he does that. Unfortunately, the president's record has often fallen far short of his soaring words.
Giving the official Republican response to the president's final State of the Union address, Haley said the president's policies have left the U.S. economically vulnerable and less safe in the face of a growing terrorist threat. She said the U.S. has an opportunity for a new direction in the 2016 presidential election. Haley is in her second term as governor of South Carolina. She said the federal government is broken, insisted there is plenty of blame to go around. She said it is time to fix it, and she noted that she is the proud daughter of Indian immigrants. But she also said the U.S. must bring a halt to illegal immigration, saying Republicans will continue efforts to end Obamacare, which she called a disastrous health care program. She also argued that Republicans offer better ideas for a more robust economy. The American sailors picked up in Iranian waters yesterday have been released from custody. The sailors were in two small boats traveling from Kuwait to Bahrain when they were detained by Iran's Revolutionary Guards. There's been some speculation the boats might have been having mechanical problems, or ran out of fuel when they strayed into Iranian waters in the Persian Gulf. The Supreme Court today is taking up the case of Iran's financial responsibility for a terrorist bombing that killed more than 204 U.S. servicemen in Lebanon. The 1983 attack on barracks in Beirut was carried out by the Iranian-backed terrorist group Hezbollah. Families of most of the victims have already won financial judgments against Iran, but the court will decide whether $2 billion in frozen Iranian assets in a U.S. bank can be used to pay the families. Congress approved the payment back in 2012, but Iran's central bank says that violates the separation of powers between Congress and the courts. The Pope today remembering the victims of Tuesday's suicide bomb attack in Istanbul, which left 10 people dead. Speaking in the Vatican, Paul VI Hall, before his weekly general audience, the Holy Father asking for prayers for those killed in the attack and for their families. That suicide bomber killed 9 Germans and 1 tourist from Peru. That happened yesterday on January 12th. The Islamic State being blamed for the attack, which also injured 15 other people. The bomber has been identified by Turkish authorities as a Syrian who recently entered the country. Turkish police have detained one person in connection with that attack. And a bill imposing new economic sanctions on North Korea is headed to the Senate after clearing the House.
The yeas are 418, the nays are 2. The bill is passed.
House members are angry about North Korea's latest nuclear test, and North claiming it was successful in testing a hydrogen bomb, but that has not been confirmed by international experts. The UN is also considering broadening sanctions against North Korea. A new report shows organizations worldwide are facing cybersecurity attacks despite increasing security policies. Craig Williams is with Cisco, a cybersecurity organization.
Basically, we're seeing attackers continue to evolve their stance so that they can take advantage of more users. It's moving cybercrime to the next level.
The annual security report is put together by the company at the end of each year to help customers understand trends and threats that they face. Issues identified in the report include a lack of cybersecurity resources for small and mid-sized businesses, decreased confidence in the ability to identify and mitigate cyber attacks, aging infrastructure, and a lack of interaction between security teams. The report also indicates a reduction in detection time. That means less time in remediating the attack and therefore minimal damage. Consumers are asked to patch their browsers and make sure to back up software to protect themselves from potential threats. And the feds have issued some new guidelines about when women should start getting mammograms. Dr. Electra Paschetta, cancer control researcher from Ohio State University, says the recommendations aren't much different than current guidelines.
They confirm that mammography is an important tool in the war against breast cancer for women ages 40 to 74.
The U.S. Preventative Services Task Force says women at average risk for breast cancer should have mammograms every other year, beginning at the age of 50. Previous recommendations were controversial, questioning the usefulness of mammograms for women in their 40s. Now the group says younger women should confer with their doctors about whether they need to get mammograms before the age of 50. And finally, in our news this morning at about 10 minutes past the hour on a Wednesday morning, January 13th, well, this is an interesting story and some good news in terms of maybe this will impact fewer people, please, Lord, buying or renting that horrible film, 50 Shades of Grey. Nominees are out for the annual Razzies given to the worst films of the year. The Golden Raspberries give an honor, quote-unquote, to Hollywood's most terrible performances. At the top of the list for Worst Picture, 50 Shades of Grey. Also at the top of the list for Worst Actress, well, the woman who played one of the key roles in that movie, Dakota Johnson. The Tug-in-Cheek Awards were created back in 1980. The winners, so to speak, will be announced the day before the Oscars. Almost 11 minutes past the hour. I do hope you're having a blessed day. It is a Wednesday. Losing track of time already. Wow, we are in the second full week of January. The next week, of course, we have just about 9 days until the big March for Life in D.C. So make sure you follow us online to get all the details at EWTN.com and then watch us live on TV starting at about 9 a.m. in the morning. And then we'll be going all day long, all the way up to the Supreme Court to cover the activities there with the Silent No More Awareness Campaign. You can also follow us on the radio. You can tweet. You can post. You can do all kinds of fun stuff and follow us on social media as well. All right, coming up, really looking forward to our interview with Bishop Thomas Olmstead. Now, you need to check this out. If you haven't seen this video yet, go to intothebreach.net, download the letter, the apostolic exhortation that the bishop wrote to men in his diocese last fall, but then also take time after the show, after we hear what the wonderful Bishop Olmstead has to say, and go watch this video. Post it, tweet it, pin it, you know, let people know about it. Do an e-blast. It's a really good video. It makes you think. It'll make you cry. It'll make you realize that there is a lot of work to do. We are in a spiritual battle, and I'm sure that's one of the reasons Bishop Olmstead entitled this video, A Call to Battle. It is a Wednesday. We'll be right back. You're listening to EWTN. Stay tuned.
Pope Francis on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land said,
"It is a great gift that the Lord has given us by bringing us together here in the upper room for the celebration of the Eucharist. Here where Jesus shared the Last Supper with the apostles, where after his resurrection he appeared in their midst, where the Holy Spirit descended with power upon Mary and the disciples. Here the church was born. She was born to go forth."
We can follow the lead of Pope Francis. We can make a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. More information is available at holyland-pilgrimage.org.
Sunrise over Galilee. Fish splashing in the waves. New friends on the bus. Delicious local food. Me, Steve Ray, sharing along the way. Standing where Jesus stood. Mass at the tomb of Christ. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Holy Land link.
Republicans, Democrats, no matter which political party is in office, there are always investment opportunities to be found. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds won't compromise the moral beliefs of its investors. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. The portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and moral values. Call toll-free 866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com.
Schwartz Investment Counsel, Inc., a registered investment advisor established in 1980, serves as an investment advisor. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. To obtain performance through the most recent month-end and a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
tremendous need in the church for men to know their role and to know their identity.
We've got this crisis, and we need men, strong Catholic men, to fill the breach.
I think to be a man, in short, is to lay down our lives.
A man's willing to die to protect the family, willing to protect what's precious to him.
I think a man first loves self-sacrificially, by giving, by serving, by protecting.
There's that part of us that wants to be a brave heart, but in reality, it looks kind of different.
It's the daily deaths, the daily opportunities to put the other first, even at the expense of self, which is the true, authentic meaning of love.
Love is sacrifice. If you want to know if I love you, try to see my sacrifice.
I'm telling you, you have to go online into thebreach.net so you can watch the full video. It's about 8 minutes long, isn't it? Bishop Olmsted, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Yeah, I think it's about 8 minutes long. Yeah,
it's fantastic. And thank you for doing this. Now, this is in connection with the beautiful apostolic exhortation you put out last fall, which, of course, is Into the Breach. Now, why did you think you wanted to do a video to go along with the message?
Well, we have a sense, really, before I even finished the apostolic exhortation, that a lot of people find out about what's written through means of the media, and especially through videos. And we felt like sometimes men in particular are captured by images. So we wanted to get to some of our men that are here in the diocese for the most part, just to respond to the video that they saw. And as you can see, they loved the video, and they responded very honestly as men of real faith and readiness to act on the exhortation.
So how did you go about, and with whom did you work? I know that you had a great production company putting the video together, but in terms of deciding who was going to be in the video production?
Well, our director of family life and family and life issues, Mike Phelan, he kind of overlooked getting people and inviting people. A number of these are people who work for the diocese or work within the diocese. And we just, because we've seen how they themselves live their faith so intentionally and so generously, we were pretty confident that they would respond. But it even surpassed what we expected. Also, our director of vocations, Father Paul Sullivan, had a real hand in it, because I think to be a vocation director is to be a person who really understands the challenge that men face these days. And exhorts them to step up and accept the challenge.
How have you seen the video being used? Is it in men's group Bible studies, or people putting it on their websites? Is it making its way around different parishes, not only in your diocese and elsewhere? How are you seeing it being used, Your Excellency?
Well, we've been amazed by how broad the expanse has been. I mean, we've had responses from all over the United States and from Europe and from Australia. Different people responding. I think what we've seen here in the Diocese of Phoenix, at least for the last 11 or 12 years, a growing number of men have been really wanting to get to know their faith better and challenging one another, forming as bands of brothers together. So the number of men's groups in parishes has grown. Our men's conference, which we started, now we have a women's conference, but we started with a men's conference, and it has really been very popular. And from that, we get, encouragement for the ones on the local level. Another group that's really been enthused about it are many seminarians.
Oh.
And even faculty members of seminaries, which would make sense, because these are men who, in our day and age, are defying the kind of popular images of men and are, embracing their faith vigorously and courageously. So like our own seminarians are not, they've accepted it and are enthused about it, but most of their colleagues as well.
So, but I think it should be read, and I think we talked about this when the apostolic exhortation came out, I think it should be read by as many people as possible. I think women can get a lot out of it too, especially those who are married.
We've had a very positive response on the part of women. Yeah, And, you know, I think it makes sense. I mean, many, many men appreciated what John Paul II had to say about feminine genius, because there's a complementarity between the sexes. And so the more we understand the role of each one, the more we can understand our own particular role, masculine role or feminine role, whatever it be.
If you're just joining us on a Wednesday morning, we're having a great conversation with His Excellency Bishop Thomas Olmsted for the Diocese of Phoenix, and you've already heard us talk about his fantastic apostolic exhortation, which you can find on the same website. That's entitled Into the Breach, and this video, which will, you know, bring tears to your eyes, is called Call to Battle. And sometimes if you're not a Christian, you don't understand what those words mean, but we are in a spiritual battle, and we have to start recognizing that, don't we?
Yeah, you know, Teresa, I mean, that's always been the case. I mean, if you look at the Gospels, what takes up a large portion of the Gospels is Jesus' confrontation with the devil and with evil spirits. So it was a spiritual battle since the time of Adam and Eve, really. But our modern world, especially the world of in North America and in Europe, has kind of denied that there is a spiritual battle, I think. And that's a very dangerous thing. And it's also a denial of reality. So I think this video really helps us to see once again that there is a battle out there. And it's one that if we align ourselves with the forces of good, and especially with the Lord Jesus who came to crush Satan's head, that we will have nothing to fear. In fact, we can with confidence and with joy enter into the spiritual battle.
Another big aspect also of this and some of the issues we see with men is that so many of us, all of us, are broken. We all fall short, as St. Paul says. But there's a big issue, Your Excellency, and I know you see this, that crops up all the time, with a brokenness in terms of the relationship in the family, which is also such an attack on God, because God reveals himself through a family. You know, let us make man in our own image. You know, with Father, Son, Holy Spirit, he comes to us in a life-giving, self-sacrificial family. And if you don't have an image of a solid father in your home, that is going to affect not only your relationship with the world, but with God.
Very much so. And so, you know, so many people are suffering because of the brokenness in the families that they've been part of. The thing we need to remember is that there's no human man who is perfect, but God the Father is the figure of fatherhood, and he is close to us through his Son, the Lord Jesus. It's very striking in the Gospels how often Jesus speaks to his disciples as my children. Even at the Last Supper in John's Gospel there, in the beautiful account, beginning at chapter 13, he refers to them as my children. He's exercising spiritual fatherhood there. And it'll be shown especially as he hands his home self over. This is my body given for you. This is my blood poured out for you. And then he goes and enters right into his passion. That's fatherhood at its best. And that's where we learn fatherhood. So even though our own fathers and our own experience of seeking to be good fathers is broken to some degree and constantly needs God's mercy, there is a father. And there's his beloved son who reveals real fatherhood to us. That reaches into every man's life. And so there's none of us that are beyond the reach of God's mercy and God's call for us men to take up this fighting along with him, being one with him, actually, as we defeat the forces of evil.
Have you gotten any questions from some of the men in your diocese about what it means to take back that leadership role? Are they a little bit confused by it, given what radical feminism has done to our culture in the last, you know, 40, 50 years?
Well, a lot of the men here that have come forward and said, we want more. There's a hunger that it's stirring up in them. You know, the day after I released it, I have 6:15 Mass here at the cathedral every morning. And the day after I released it, we told the men that we'll have a little gathering after Mass. Well, we had over 50 men that showed up that morning, just like that. So what I saw especially is a hunger to go deeper, you know, to explore what I've written, but then to go beyond that. And so as a result of that, when we have our men's conference next month here, the whole conference is going to be focused on Into the Breach.
Oh, great.
Into this message, to expand upon it and to provide other resources for them to deepen that.
Mm. And so when's the conference, Bishop?
I think it's the 6th of February.
February. Oh, wow. So that's very close. And any idea how it's selling so far in terms of tickets? I'm sure it's almost sold out.
Well, one would think so, but our experience in Arizona is that people buy them the last week.
Oh, that's a Catholic thing, isn't it? We wait till the last minute for everything. All right. Well, let me remind folks about the video, and then we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more. But we're chatting with Bishop Thomas Olmsted from the Diocese of Phoenix, who's just an incredible leader. I've had the opportunity to speak in his diocese a number of times, including at the Women's Conference, which was great, by the way. And that's growing, too, from what I understand. But Men's Conference is right around the corner, guys. So if you're in the area or maybe going to be vacationing out in Phoenix, check it out. You can get all the information at the Phoenix Diocesan website. But most importantly, check out the video, Call to Battle, and check out the Apostolic Exhortation, Into the Breach. You can find both at intothebreach.net. We are chatting with Bishop Olmsted of the Diocese of Phoenix. More with the bishop when we come back on a Wednesday morning. Stay tuned.
Charity Mobile is the only pro-life mobile phone corporation. LifeSite News recently featured corporate watchdog Second Vote and their research of corporations that fund Planned Parenthood. The article concluded that only 7 corporations are ranked as being pro-life, while 234 corporations have abortion-supporting scores. Charity Mobile is one of the 7 pro-life corporations and the only mobile phone company. 5% of your monthly talk plan price goes to the pro-life charity of your choice, and there are no contracts, no termination fees, and no risk with the 30-day trial. Call 877-474-3662 or go to CharityMobile.com today. Mention Ave Maria Radio and get a free 4G LTE smartphone plus free activation and free shipping. Life is calling. Take it with you. Call 877-474-3662 or go to CharityMobile.com today.
The new Ave Maria Radio app is available now for all your smart devices. Live streaming and audio on demand is included, but there's new features including video of free-range Q&A and the entire text of the RSVCE Bible. The app is free and easy to get, but when you download the Truth and Life Audio New Testament featuring the voices of many Hollywood stars, you'll be supporting Ave Maria Radio. It's the new and free Ave Maria Radio app. Search at your app store or go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the app banner. This Ave Maria Radio program is underwritten in part by Visiting Angels. Many people are wondering how they can care for older family members who cannot fully care for themselves. Visiting Angels provides compassionate home visits even up to 24 hours per day, and you may select your caregiver. Visiting Angels assist adults nationwide to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide help in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Visiting Angels is online at visitingangels.com. Visiting Angels, America's choice in home care.
What makes a man, and what separates him from all the other animals in the world is that he can order his passions. So man is always called to have self-mastery. Men are constantly tempted to turn to pornography for when they're faced with loneliness, when they're faced with anxiety or stress, and men just don't find fulfillment in that.
And when a guy gets hooked on this stuff and his passions take dominion over him, he ceases to be the spiritual head of his family, because if he can't guard his own soul and lead that soul to heaven, how is he going to guard the innocence of the family that's been entrusted to him?
And so the man's work of self-mastery, that is the foundational work for being able to give himself away.
We live in a country where we have so much food and so much entertainment, we need to say no.
If you train yourself now to say no to the little things, as time goes on, you learn to say no to the bigger temptations in life.
29 minutes past the hour. Welcome back. We are listening to a portion of the new video that was recently released, actually just last week, by the Diocese of Phoenix. It is in conjunction with the Apostolic Exhortation written by the Bishop of Phoenix, Thomas Olmsted. The Apostolic Exhortation is entitled Into the Breach, and the video, which goes along with that, which you're hearing this morning, is entitled A Call to Battle. Both can be found at intothebreach.net. And what I also thought was really crucial in the video, Your Excellency, just as in the apostolic exhortation, was that you don't shy away from one of the biggest topics that is just tearing apart our world, and that's the evils of pornography.
Oh, yeah, we have to face that square on, because it's just thrust at us every day. It seems just to kind of invade and get inside of so many things. So we have to be very clearly aware of that as something that's a real enemy to our soul. I love that beatitude, blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. So the only way we can have this real close relationship with God is if we have a clean heart, and pornography is the exact opposite of that.
Yeah.
So it really eats into the core of our being and our identity as a man or as a woman, because we're made to love others, to give ourselves to others, and pornography moves us to use others.
That makes us all objects.
Exactly. And, St. John Paul II said in his Theology of the Body that the opposite of love is to use someone. And that's what pornography is. It's just using people as objects. And it never, ever fulfills a longing of the heart for something. It promises what it can never give. It does the opposite of what it seems to promise.
Yeah, and it goes directly against something else that John Paul II talked about so beautifully, both in the papal letter to women and Mulieris Dignitatum, and that's male and female complementarity, which you say that phrase to the average person, they have no idea, but even many of the average Catholics don't understand this idea of complementarity. But when you sit down and you read it and you pray about it and you think about the marriage, the sacrament of marriage, that relationship, it all becomes clear how the two become one.
Yes, I very much agree. I think there is, I don't know how we lost it, because it's built into nature.
Right, right.
The complementarity, but there has been a loss of that. But, in a healthy marriage, you do see this fruitfulness, the virtue, you see the complementarity there. My parents, I'm so blessed, my mom and dad, 93 and 94.
Aww.
It's the most beautiful love affair I've ever seen in my life. But from the time that I was a little child, I remember them going off to dances. And that's kind of what complementarity is about. It's this dance, Each one has, the beauty of femininity and the beauty of masculinity, and they complement each other in such amazing ways. And also, I think when we think of femininity, it's about bearing with one another in our differences and in our weaknesses. And when there's love there, there's an anticipation of the other's needs, and also an awareness of the other's gifts that I need as well. So God has done this in such a beautiful way that it really helps each person grow greatly when we recognize the distinctiveness of masculinity and femininity, and then the way that they're intended when they come together in marriage to be such a great combination for life and fruitfulness.
Now, you said it beautifully earlier when you were talking about this is built in our nature, and yet we fight our nature all the time to our own demise.
Yeah, Pope Francis said some wonderful words about complementarity, and he says that it begins by valuing one's own body in either its femininity or its masculinity. So if until we recognize this gift of, kind of appreciating how God made me, then we can see how that I can make a gift of that to another and begin to appreciate the distinctiveness and the giftness of the other. So I think there's some of this is linked to the fact that there's a lot of people that just don't have an appreciation of themselves as loved by God, and the way that they're made in the image of God, distinctively in the image of God as feminine or in the image of God as masculine.
I think we have a major identity crisis. As a matter of fact, we had a fantastic Courage conference, huge conference in the Archdiocese of Detroit in August, and we were a big part of that. And Father Paul Cech, who was just an incredible witness, gave a phenomenal keynote, Your Excellency, talking about that what we really have here is an identity crisis, because we don't know who we are made in the image of and likeness of God and what we were made for.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. And the identity has to precede our actions. We have to know who we are in the sight of God. And then we know what we're intended to do and able to do. But yeah, you're very much right on that, and I agree. Father Paul Cech has been a great, great spokesperson. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's another brilliant a teacher. Now, how do we help you get the word out about this video? I'd like to see it all over the place, and so I was telling my listeners at the top of the hour to, you know, to tweet it, to put it on Facebook, to pin it, and all that stuff that we do in social media, to blast it out in an email. How would you like it to be really received in terms of a practical application in the parish life or in a person's life?
I think it's very helpful if it's received by men's groups and even by women's groups, because when we look at it together with others, others who are also desiring to be more faithful disciples and, as Pope Francis says, missionary disciples, if we do that in groups, there's an energy that grows as we look at this together. So that, especially among them, I would love to see it grow. And I think this is why it's really taking, fire in seminaries, because it's a group of men who together are striving to grow in holiness and prepare themselves for a mission from God in the church.
I wonder if our friend Terry Polakovic at Endow, Educating on the Nature and Dignity of Women, I wonder if they're going to pick this up, because they do a great job of studying different documents and different teachings. That would be a great course for them to have.
It would be. You know, I sometimes tell people that people would say, you know, John Paul II talked about feminine genius. Why didn't he ever talk about masculine genius? And I used to, you know, laugh at that. But then when I began to think and pray about it, I said, it is true that we haven't written about what man's unique role is. And that's part of what led me to do this.
Wow.
Because we have such a beautiful articulation of feminine genius, but John Paul II, I think, embodied what it means to be a man so well,
right. Yeah.
By his example. But he didn't articulate to the degree that he did for women, because I think he thought that feminism needed to be addressed.
Well, at his time, absolutely. And I think especially with the papal letter to women, he really was doing us such a huge service. Bishop, always great to talk with you. Thank you for your amazing work. And again, intothebreach.net for both the video and the apostolic exhortation. Chatting with Bishop Thomas Olmsted for the Diocese of Phoenix. We'll be right back on a Wednesday. We go to Rome to speak with Joan Lewis. Do hope you're having a great, great morning. You're listening to the one, the only EWTN, and we'll be right back on a Wednesday.
Pope Francis, on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land, said,
"It is a great gift that the Lord has given us by bringing us together here in the upper room for the celebration of the Eucharist. Here, where Jesus shared the Last Supper with the apostles, where after his resurrection he appeared in their midst, where the Holy Spirit descended with power upon Mary and the disciples. Here the church was born. She was born to go forth."
We can follow the lead of Pope Francis. We can make a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. More information is available at holyland-pilgrimage.org.
Do not settle for a government-controlled and mandated healthcare system that forces you to choose between your healthcare and your faith. CMF Curo is a Catholic healthcare ministry that allows you to provide for you and your family's healthcare needs and to live your Catholic faith. Get the personal guidance from our ministry to make the right decision for you and your family. This is Lewis Brown, director of CMF Curo, and I invite you to check out CMF Curo today at cmfcuro.com. That is cmfcuro.com.
Catholic Connection is underwritten in part by Charity Mobile. Communication is critical. And in today's world, your cellular service is your lifeline to family and friends. Ave Maria Radio and Charity Mobile are partners in communicating the most important message of all, the good news of Jesus Christ. Charity Mobile is a provider of cellular LTE phones and service and has been a proud supporter of Ave Maria Radio and other pro-life causes for more than 10 years. More information at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Charity begins at phone.
Have you lost a loved one? Do you have questions regarding estate settlement? How are my taxes, estate plan, and investment plan affected by the loss of a loved one? How will my Social Security be affected? And will I have enough income to maintain my standard of living? To answer these questions and for assistance in all estate settlement matters, contact the experts at Michigan Retirement Specialist, 313-2-RETIRE. Again, 313-2-RETIRE.
Welcome back. It's Wednesday. You know what that means? We go to Rome. we chat with our very own Joan Lewis. And Joan, the book is out and it's getting rave reviews. It's got a real buzz already over here in the United States. We're talking about the Pope's book, of course, The Name of God is Mercy. And I know that you're all up on that as you've been covering some stories related to it. Good morning, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Good afternoon. I am absolutely terrific, and I mean, part of it I think is still a residue from one of the most interesting press conferences I've ever attended. Not so much a press conference as the presentation yesterday to hundreds of guests. As a matter of fact, we were at the Augustinian Center because the press office never ever could have, it can hold about 200 plus people, but never could have held this crowd. So this was a presentation of a book which is really a conversation between Pope Francis and a man who's known him for many years, the Vaticanista Andrea Tornielli. And they knew each other long before he was even Pope. In any event, one of the presenters, the head of the Vatican Publishing Company was there. They have published the book, and many other companies in many other languages have published this book. It's available apparently in 86 countries.
Mm-hmm.
But the Name of God is Mercy was produced, of course, or written originally in Italian. But the head of the publishing company, the head of the Vatican Press Office, Father Lombardi, and the Secretary of State, Cardinal Pietro Parolin, were all there to help present the book. Obviously, the author was there. But the really highly awaited guest was Roberto Benigni, who I hope, even if the encounter has only been brief, I hope our listeners know who he is. If anything, if they did see the movie Life is Beautiful, then mm-hmm. they certainly will remember him in that, and we get a chance to see him a lot more often on TV and stuff here. But I began my blog yesterday by saying, did you hear the line about how a Venetian cardinal, a Tuscan comedian, and a prisoner from China explained mercy?
I love
Sounds
that.
Like a line from a comedy routine, right?
Right, exactly.
Well, of course it was. And that was a line used by Benigni, and he said only Pope Francis could have ever thought of inviting a Venetian cardinal, a Tuscan comedian, and a prisoner from China to explain mercy. And actually, the Chinaman, I found his story quite compelling and did tell it on my blog. I don't know exactly his age, but this young man is a prisoner in Padua. He's Chinese. We do not know why he's in prison. At least he did not specify that. Yesterday he talked about his young life when he was just turning to all sorts of bad things, and he just became worse over time, and then had this encounter through a volunteer with Mercy. And to make a very long but beautiful story very short, this so struck the young man that he actually, you know, asked for lessons on the faith and became a Christian and was baptized a Christian. So he was in Rome for 2 days. I have no idea. I have not read, you know, where he might have stayed in Rome. I'm assuming it wasn't a five-star hotel. But it was a very interesting encounter. His story was very interesting, and he was given 20 years in prison, so you can assume it was not for, you know, robbing a car or something like that, so
mm-hmm.
or stealing a car. In any event, Benigni totally started. The minute he came in the room, he and Cardinal Parolin walked in together, and he just totally stole the show. He was the last one to speak, which, of course, was very good. I would hate to have been the person to follow Benigni, because he truly was on the stage, and he was himself. He's exuberant and nonstop talking, very mm-hmm. quick talking, arms moving all the time. I think if he could dance and talk, he would probably do that as well. But he had so many great lines about the book. And he said, for example, it's so dripping with mercy that it is so filled with mercy you could sell it by the pound. And he called the Pope Pope Francis is a marvelous revolutionary. And he admitted how emotional, Benigni admitted how emotional he was when he said, I was in the smallest state in the world with the greatest man in the world. And Benigni said, Francis is taking the entire church towards a place that we don't think about anymore, towards Christianity, towards Jesus Christ, towards the gospel. How does he do this? He does it through mercy, which is not a mushy thing, but a severe virtue. And he said, Francis is always moving, and he goes from the least of these to the least of these. And but as I said, he never stopped talking. His rapid-fire conversation was just amazing. And it was contagious. I think you found yourself breathing faster as you watched Benigni. But anyway, he was just magnificent, having been in the presence of the Pope on Monday when a group of about a dozen people, including the author, of course, and the Chinese inmate, they presented the book to the Holy Father. And it was actually the daughter of Silvio Berlusconi.
Oh.
Who heads the Mondadori, which was one of the publishers of the book. It's a great big publishing house. I'm sure that you and our readers have heard that name before. And so she was there and principally was the main person who handed the Pope the book. And so it was apparently a very moving day. They showed film of Benigni embracing the Pope, and I'm just so excited. And Benigni said, when I was little, I wanted to be a priest. In school, I was asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? And he said, I answered, the Pope. Well, of course, everyone began to laugh, and then I realized I better be a comedian.
Well, there's some really fun stories out there on different websites. I'm looking at one right now from John Allen's The Crux, and it says that he stole the show. Actor Roberto Benigni steals a show with the Pope's book launch, and there's this great shot of him, like this close-up, just laughing, and the other church leaders laughing, and Father Federico Lombardi in the background. So it just sounds like it was just a really uplifting
Teresa,
event.
I put a picture of that moment on my – oh, here's what he said when they were laughing, and I took a picture of them as he was saying this. He said he got a phone call from the Vatican about possibly talking at today's presentation, and Benigni said, as soon as I heard the words, His Holiness would like, I didn't even want to hear the rest of the sentence. I immediately said yes. I'm ready to be a Swiss guard. I'll be the Pope's driver, whatever Francis needs.
Yep, yep.
And with all the, you know, arms moving all over the place and everything else, and that's why they were laughing so hard. So I don't know how many pictures I took, but I posted about a dozen on my blog.
That's a great story.
It really, really is. And Mercy Today was the subject of the Pope's general audience. He's looking, it was inside for the first time in a long time in the Paul VI Hall, but he looked at mercy within the framework of the Bible. And so, but I do have to, I'm just looking at my text of Benigni. I have to tell you one more line he said, and then I'll talk about today's audience. He said, you know, his favorite book is the Gospel of Matthew, and he spoke of the healing of St. Peter's mother-in-law, and he said, you do know that God healed her, because afterwards she had to cook dinner for everybody. and he said,
what a
Jesus
bump.
I know. He said Jesus himself enjoyed the joys of life, such as a meal, etc. So, but anyway, no, amazing stuff. And Mercy, we're in the year of Mercy, for heaven's
right.
sakes. And why wouldn't we have a series of catecheses at the general audience on Mercy? And the Pope said we're going to look at it from a biblical perspective, and obviously noting that in sacred scripture the Lord is always presented as merciful God. This is his name,
right.
the name by which
mercy.
He reveals,
yeah.
and of course mm-hmm. the name of the book.
Mm-hmm.
So,
the name of God is mercy. Now, it was interesting, yesterday, what's today, Wednesday, and so Monday and Tuesday, there were some really good stories on the Catholic wires and also on some other news wires about how the Pope explained that now famous quote that he made on the way back from the World Youth Day in Brazil back in July of 2013, who am I to judge? He reiterated that he was quoting again the Catechism. So they had that paragraph in there in a few stories. Was there any more elaboration on that, or is that all?
Not really. That was picked out because, for example, Vatican Radio on Monday, the day before the official presentation, did present some excerpts from the books, from the book, and some rather lengthy excerpts from the English edition, and that was one of them. Obviously, you could have guessed, if the Pope was going to mention this in the book, that the media would have picked up on it. But to have him clarify it, does that mean the media will also use his clarification? And you're always going to see, in tandem, Teresa, when this is what mercy involves. Mercy does not involve judgment. And that's exactly what the Pope was trying to say, not only in that interview on the plane back from a trip when asked, he was asked about a homosexual priest, if I recall the original question accurately. And then the Pope's famous, who am I to judge? But that was preceded by something which the press rarely wrote about. And this time he's clarifying it's, you know, this is really what the Bible, what the Catechism says. And so we are to be merciful. We are to act like Jesus. We are to do what God would want us to do. And also that involves or does not involve judgment. So. But some wonderful, wonderful things, and I'm sure the book can be bought in local Catholic, in English, in local Catholic bookstores and other sites and Amazon and the U.S. publishers and so forth. So, and it is easy reading. Bonini said yesterday, why, there's parts of this book, if I talked as fast as he did, of course you wouldn't understand me, but he said, there's parts of this book you can read in 5 minutes. You can read it while you're waiting for a late bus or train. So, yeah, he didn't lose an opportunity. And he must have had a partial script in front of him, but most of it was just totally, you know, off the cuff, very much how the Pope is.
Yeah,
but,
well, that movie, Life is Beautiful, was just was incredible, absolutely incredible.
But you know what, my absolute favorite quote of Benigni's, and I did put this on my blog yesterday. I once had a few years ago one of those little death calendars where you tear off a page at the end of every day. Well, mine was so good I never tore off the page. But there was a quote from Benigni who said, did you folks know that the Bible is the only book whose author also created its readers?
That's great.
I absolutely love it. It's one of those things that becomes seared onto your brain. It's just so absolutely uniquely wonderful and true.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and then we come back. We'll wrap up with you, my dear sister, Joan Lewis, of course, Bureau Chief for EWTN in Rome, and talking about this very neat event that took place for the introduction of the Pope's new book, which is just out this week in 86, count them, 86 languages around the globe. And, of course, it's available here in the United States. And, of course, it's all about mercy because we are in the year of mercy. And the name of the book is The Name of God is Mercy by Pope Francis. We'll be right back on a Wednesday with Joan.
Hi, I'm Peggy Stanton, and I'm inviting you to join me on Power from the Pews when I interview the people who are engaged in remarkable ministries that are making a real difference in their parishes and the world. That's this Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
You might have seen a copy of the Michigan Catholic newspaper sitting in the back of your church. But have you picked one up lately? If so, you'll find we're not only Catholic news you can trust, but Catholic news you can use. Find out where your favorite priest is being assigned, read our popular Q&A columns, and learn more about your faith by reading the Michigan Catholic. Talk to your pastor or call 313-224-8000 or visit themichigancatholic.com.
When you're looking for care for a loved one and you want them to remain independent and living at home, Visiting Angels is ready to serve. Visiting Angels franchises provide the compassionate, professional caregivers needed to deliver the best home care available. You may select your caregiver before service begins. Services include bathing, dressing, errands, light housekeeping, meal preparation, and more, up to 24 hours each day. With over 500 franchised offices nationwide, Visiting Angels is America's choice in senior home care. Employment opportunities and caregiving for Visiting Angels are available. You'll receive the support needed to fulfill your goal of achieving a caring career. Franchise opportunities are also available. Call today at 877-374-LIVE or visit us online at visitingangels.com. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. Each office is independently owned and operated.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection, wrapping up with Joan Lewis on a Wednesday, and I wanted to give her the last about minute and 20 seconds because there's an exciting announcement about something that's happening at the Vatican this weekend. Take it away, Joan.
Oh, very, very exciting, Teresa. You've seen it, but and I haven't, but the Holy Face from Manopello will be brought in pilgrimage to Rome. And this is another name given to this is the Veronica, the Vera Icona, the true icon, which scholars, of course, say this was the cloth that wiped the face of Jesus during his passion as he was going to Gethsemane. Now, this will be brought to Rome. There will be a mass on Friday with Archbishop Georg Gaunschwein, who, of course, is Pope Benedict's private secretary. That is Friday. There's a whole pilgrimage coming. I'm sure there's no way that I'll get into the Church of the Holy Spirit on Friday, but unless I have the Holy Spirit's aid. But then on Sunday, there will also be a solemn closing mass, but during the afternoon, the icon will be carried. It'll be a replica of the icon, but it will be carried in the original reliquary, and it will be carried through the Holy Door of St. Peter's, but there will be a chance for all of us faithful to see it. So weekend. I'll take any photos I can. I'll be interviewing Paul Boddy, who's probably one of the world's
experts.
No, he's
the expert. He's actually written the book on the Holy Face, and he actually, I was able to interview him as well, and is a blessing to be there. Joan, thanks. Great information, and we'll talk to you folks tomorrow on a Thursday. Have a really good day.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruczek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
You remember the day you first laid eyes on her. They handed you the keys and you drove back home for everyone to admire. And although the memories have been made, it's time to pass the torch to someone else. Consider donating your vehicle to Ave Maria Radio. Even if it's not running, we'll take care of everything from pickup to your tax receipt. Just call 866-628-CARS to show you just how easy it is to donate. That's 866-628-CARS. And mention Ave Maria Radio.
Now that it's the new year, everyone wants to eat healthy. Want to get fresh? Lentil Mediterranean Grill is a fast casual restaurant that offers a fresh, healthy Mediterranean cuisine. You can create your own sandwich or rice bowl with several topping options. They also have gluten-free options and great catering options. They're located next to the Shrine of the Little Flower Church on Woodward, north of 12 Mile. Visit Lentil Mediterranean Grill today. And from our family to yours, God bless and have a blessed new year.
Are you tired of watching your retirement money seem to do well, only to have it go right back down every few years? Of talking with someone different every time you're at the bank or investment firm who doesn't really know what's important to you? Are you fed up with paying all the high fees and not really understanding how your investments work? It's time to take back control of your own destiny.